Esther chapter 4. And I'm calling you to look with me at verses 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" There is no doubt about it. We are living in a most serious and critical time in the history of our problem. Not one of us really know just how serious and how critical this day is. In the past, there have been times of crisis and times of perplexity and times when the enemy has come in like a flood. But I believe that this month is the most critical month that Ulster has ever passed through. And I believe we're living in the most critical days that this generation has ever experienced as far as our province is concerned. I have been greatly encouraged as I have meditated upon these great facts concerning the book of Esther. If you look at chapter 3, you will find that there was a prime minister, Haman. And this prime minister, Haman, was a man that decided that he would trample into the ground God's people, that he would take from them their privileges, and he would take from them their liberties, and he would take from them their very lives. And you know, it's interesting to note that the day that he set for this was on the 13th day. The 13th day, if you look at verse 12, and then the day that the children were to perish, verse 13 of chapter 3, the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So the 13th day was to be the vital day. And the 13th day of this month will be a vital day in this province when the forces that are opposed to ecumenism, that are opposed to tyranny, that are opposed to this modern Haman, Captain O'Neill, when these forces will be lined up for the final confrontation and the destiny-deciding battle of this province. Make no mistake about it. And you know, my friend, the real objective of Captain O'Neill is to finish the testimony of this church and to finish the progress that this church is making and to finish the testimony of the preaching of biblical Christianity in this province. And I'm glad this morning that many of God's people are awakening to see the issue. I have been speaking to people of various denominations, some who do not see eye to eye with me in many things. And they have been saying to me, at last, we can see the deep-seated plot of this man O'Neill. And what he's out for is for the absolute establishment of ecumenism and the absolute destruction of biblical Christianity. So the day of destiny is set, and the time has come for the people of God to take action. Now what happened? Mordecai said to Esther, he said, you've got to go in to the king. And you have got to make a plea and take your stand, no matter what the cost may be, for the liberties and the privileges and the freedoms of the people of God. And Esther the queen is sitting with her maidens. For 30 days she has not been called to go into the king's presence. And she sends word out to Mordecai. Look at verse 11. She says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. So she said to Mordecai, you're asking me to take my life into my hands. It's going to be death if I don't get the favor of the king. I'm going to be a martyr. I'm going to have to die if I don't win the favor of the king. And Mordecai sent back the reply. And what did he say? Look at it again. He said, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. And I'd like to say that to my evangelical brethren in the various denominations of this land. Let them not think that they're going to escape the hatred and the tyranny and the villainy and the dictatorship of this modern Haman that has been raised up by the enemy of the gospel in this land. Every Christian is going to feel the full brunt of persecution. Every Christian is going to feel the full brunt of tyranny and of hardship and of dictatorship. Every one of us, we're all going to suffer. And Mordecai said to her, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, and there's a lot of Christians, a lot of God's people, and they want to hold their peace at this time. They don't want to take any side. They don't want to be caught up in the conflict and in the turmoil. And I would like to say that if we consulted our own skin, if I consulted my own comfort, if I consulted my own personal advantages, I could sit back today on the sidelines and take no part in the destiny-deciding elections that are coming. But friend, here's what the Bible says, if thou altogether holdest thy peace. I wonder how many Christians just want to hold their peace. They don't want to be caught up in the struggle. They know that it's a serious day. They're quite aware of the facts of the situation, but they're afraid. Afraid because of friendships. Afraid because of business. Afraid because of their own personal reputations. Afraid because of the things that are inherent to themselves, Friend, God wants man and woman today who are sold out absolutely upon the Lord. The martyrs didn't think of themselves when they perished. The last time I was in Edinburgh, I went to see the Covenanters' prison in the Grey Friars Churchyard. And as I stood and looked into that prison, I thought of the men of the covenanting faith who were prepared to do and die on the hillsides of Scotland rather than barter the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of his gospel. We need men with that spirit today. This is not a day for compromise. This is not a day, my brethren and sisters, to sit on the sideline as spectators when everything that we love and everything that we cherish and everything that makes life worth living is in the melting pot. God's looking for men who will carry the standards. And let me tell you, friend, that this election today is called in order to sponsor the interests of one man and one man only, and that is Captain O'Neill, the Hayman of Ulster. The dictator of this province, the man who with ruthless barbarity is going to try and break the testimony of this church. I see the chief wit in a statement in Stormont says that the free Presbyterians are possessed of the devil. And he says every Sunday night they walk the razor edge in the Ulster Hall of damnation and salvation. And he says those that go there are filled with a devil as well. This, my friend, is what these men are against. They're against the gospel. Make no mistake about it. They're against the truth. They're against the preacher of the word. They're against this great soul-saving church that God has raised up in this province for such a time as this. Yes, they're against it. We know where the battles are. We know where they stand. But I'm happy today that this is what the Lord says. Look at it. Enlargement and deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place. If God's people today don't take their stand, God will raise up another way of deliverance. And we're not prepared to be the soldiers. And we're not prepared to be the standard bearers. And we're not prepared to go down into the battle with all its grim and squalor and hatred and violence and face the foe. God will raise up someone else. God will remove the candlestick. God will take his benediction and blessing to some other people. And leave us with a great Ichabod written over us, the glory has departed. Don't let me say, friend, we have no monopoly of the Spirit of God or the benediction of heaven. I can only know God's blessing as I obey the Word of God. When I cease to obey this book, I put myself outside the blessing of heaven. Now, I have had many people with me this week, as doubtless you will know, and they have said to me, as the maidens of Esther have said, sit on the sidelines. Take no part. Just don't get involved. Don't get caught up in the turmoil. Don't get caught up in the strife. Don't get caught up in this fierce battle. But friend, I would be guilty of compromise within my soul if I accepted that counsel. This is a day when God is looking for people to stand. And look at this last thing. Thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. If we take no part, if we don't fight the battle, if we try to be mere spectators and wash our hands of the situation, we'll be destroyed. The dictator's going to win anyway, if that's what we do. But who knoweth whither thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I am convinced that God has raised up the free Presbyterian testimony in this land for such a time as this. I want to tell you something, friend. If there wasn't a free Presbyterian church today in Ulster, the land would be overrun with popery. If there wasn't the standard of this church erected in Ulster, then our heritage would have perished. And you will notice that all the attack in the press and all the attack on the BBC and on the television, it's all against this preacher and what he stands for. The focal point, the person that O'Neill wants to destroy, is a preacher of the gospel and the testimony of this church. But my friend, I want to tell you that God is on the throne. I'm glad about that today. I'm glad that even although there hangs over me a prison sentence, and even although before us as a church there are days of darkness, and God alone knows how dark that darkness will be, and how terrible will be the sufferings of the saints, and how awful will be the passage that will have to go, and the pathway will have to travel. Yet I know this, that there's a God in heaven, and that God hears the cries and the prayers of God's people. He hears their prayers, and he hears their cry. And you know what Esther said, and I'd like to say it to you today. She said, well, I'm prepared. She says, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, verse 16. And fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, day or night. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to law. And if I perish, I perish. My, what a woman was Esther. This fine, beautiful queen, with everything to help her personally, and she was prepared to sacrifice everything for her people. What a testimony. But she said, before I do it, she said, you've got to fast, and you've got to pray, and you've got to eat nothing or drink nothing until I come into the king. And I believe, my friend, this battle will not only be fought in the streets of this land, and it'll have to be fought in the streets. It'll not only be fought at the ballot boxes, and it'll have to be fought at the ballot boxes, but I believe the real victory will come as we get before God in prayer. And I'm setting aside next Lord's Day in this house for a day of prayer and fasting as our brother preaches the word. And I want you folks to come next Lord's Day and leave aside every duty. I trust we'll have the largest turnout we've ever had at these day of prayers and fasting, and that you and me together will fast and pray before God, and will ask God to do something in this province that'll save us from the enemies of Ulster. And thank God, God can do it. God answers prayer. This is a great thing. That's why they're mocking God, you know. They had a program on last Lord's Day, I understand, in the BBC, in which they mocked the God that we believe in. They mocked our God. But praise God, he's a living God. Praise God, he's a God that answers by fire. Praise God, our God lives today. And he's a God who hears the prayers of the people. And you know what happened? The end of the story is not told in that chapter, but as you pass on down through the chapter, you will find in verse 10 of chapter 7 what happened. You know, Haman made a great gallows. Yes. He made a great gallows, and he was going to hang Mordecai on the gallows. Thought it was a great time. His heart was joyful. But when he saw, look at chapter 5 and verse 9, then went Haman forth that day joyful with a glad heart. That's like O'Neill. He's going forth joyful with a glad heart. He thinks that he's got everything his way. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, he was full of indignation. And when O'Neill saw Paisley, he was full of indignation. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself
And when he came home, he sent and called his friends and Sheareth his wife. And Sheareth his wife, verse 14, and all his friends said unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereof. That's what Aeneas planned. He's planned the gallows for the people of God. He has planned the persecution for God's people. And I believe he has planned for me the full rigor of a corrupted law system and the full rigor of vigorous imprisonment. I know that he has all that planned. But you turn to chapter 7, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Yes, sir. And the very instrument that Haman intended for the destruction of Mordecai, God turned the tide, and that instrument became the instrument for the destruction of Haman. And that's what God can do in this time. Make no mistake about it, friend. This is what God does. He can turn the tide. But he'll only turn the tide when we say with Esther, goods, friends, riches, everything goes. I'm going to take my life in my hands, and if I perish, I perish. This is full consecration, isn't it? And this is what God wants us to do, and I trust, my brethren and sisters in Christ, that you'll pray as you never prayed before. And that during this week you'll set aside times to pray. What a good thing it would be if all of us would set aside one meal time. And instead of eating that meal, we prayed to the God of heaven. And then let me say, what a blessed thing it would be if everybody that came next Sunday morning stayed on for this day of prayer. And this place was filled with men and women seeking God. My, we can turn the tide. And we can see God move in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And I trust that you will specially remember me at this time with all the responsibilities of this great church and all the responsibilities that are pushed upon me as I lead the battle in this country, that you'll pray that God will strengthen me physically and mentally and spiritually. If ever I need it, the prayers and the support and the help of God's people, I need it now. If ever I needed a congregation to stand unitedly in the breach, I need you now. And I know you're not going to fail. I know there are people here who are going to stand and be counted in this battle. And when the day of battle is over, and when the election is over, we will see that God answered our prayers and turned the tide and saved our province and gave victory to our land in a day of darkness and a day of crisis. Who knowest, but thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is the hour of destiny. This is the hour for decision. This is the hour for a complete and absolute consecration of our hearts and our minds and our souls to the Lord. We can do no else. If we perish, we perish. But we must follow the will of God, no matter how hard and how difficult the task may be. Thank God there is a God in heaven. Thank God for the promises of the book that are yea and amen in Christ. Thank God for his grace that helps us to carry the burden, helps us to face the steepest hill with joy, and helps to bring us across the dark rivers and through the valleys, until we see the sunshine dawning in Emmanuel's land. God is going to see us through. So let us this morning consecrate ourselves to God. Let's give ourselves afresh to the Lord. Let's tell the Lord that if we perish, but we will stand. And we will go with God. And we will seek the Lord's blessing. And we'll do what God wants us to do, and we'll be what God wants us to be, and we'll stand for God no matter what the cost. And we'll see this Lamb delivered and blessed. And in the midst of conflict, may we see a mighty old-fashioned revival. And I believe it's coming. I believe with all my heart that there's sound of abundance over him. I believe that God is moving, and moving mightily. And the best, my brethren and sisters, is yet to be. And the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts today. The word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And Lord, thou dost know this Haman that is set over us. This evil apostate dictator. This man who's ruthless. So ruthless that he breaks up his own political party for his own selfish and ignominious ends. This man who's intent of tearing this country apart. This man who wants to batter the saints of God in behind the prison cells. This man who wants to tear from us our loyalties and our heritage. God, deal with him today. We're handing him over to the Lord that the Lord might deal with him. We're handing him over to the Lord that the Lord might break his teeth and shut his mouth. And finish him for all time, that our land might be freed from his tyranny. Lord, this is a battle to the death. If I perish, I perish. But I must do the works of God who has called me. And Lord, we know that we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We know that God has called this church into existence just for this day. This is the hour. This is the day. This is the time. Oh God, help us to raise the standards. God, give victory in this election, we pray. Be pleased to move upon the hearts of the people. Be pleased, oh God, to deliver us. My God, we call upon thee now. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And answer our prayers and help us for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.